In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Psalms must be prayed, not simply read. They give voice to our faith, and they put our emotions in a proper place. In Psalm 25, a troubled conscience wrestles with the struggle of living a repentant life. We desire to turn from sin and toward God in faith, but the conscience continues to prod us and poke us. In faith, we lift up our eyes to the Lord suspended on Calvary. He alone is our hope. He alone is our salvation. Yet we still struggle to make sense of our lives at times. Failure, embarrassment, and weakness haunt us. The problem isn't a lack of knowledge, as if we didn't know what was right or wrong. We knew full well what our tasks and vocations were and what they were not, but we still have not fulfilled them, and certainly not from the heart. Worthlessness renders our limbs limp. We've disgraced our vocation of father, mother, son, daughter, husband, or wife. Those that we have loved most were embarrassed at times to look at. Feelings of disgrace, of being less than, permeate the very marrow of our soul. We're ashamed. God forgives. Thanks be to God. We resolve to do better. Thanks be to God. Yet our conscience still pricks us. There's a difference between shame and humility. We often confuse the two. When we say that someone has been humiliated, really we mean that he has been shamed. The ashamed deserves some kind of punishment depending on the severity of the offense. Ultimately, the shamed will be shut out of God's presence forever. But not the humble. The humble submit to the will of God. They look outside of themselves and recognize their place, and they seek to carry out the vocations God has given. So the feelings of guilt are really feelings of shame, not of humility. The ashamed have disgraced their own reputation, perhaps that of their parents, and if they are Christian, then certainly that of God. And so we cry out in faith, let me not be put to shame, O God. Why? For I have trusted in you. We're not trying to wiggle out from underneath the law, as if God can simply turn a blind eye. We want to live in the forgiveness of the gospel. And it's hard. Feelings don't always align with our faith. A tender conscience is a tremendous gift from God that we rightly feel ashamed when we commit a sin. But as with all good gifts from God, the sinful flesh hijacks it and abuses it so that we hold on to our shame longer than we should when God has declared us free and forgiven. The enemies whisper in our ears, so you're telling me that you can live however you want throughout the week, just so long as you can come here on Sunday or Wednesday and receive forgiveness? We know that's not right, and yet we have lived it. The tension tears at us. We're forgiven, yet we feel guilty. We're a child of God, yet we're still afflicted. We're an heir of heaven, yet how many are our foes? Secure in Christ, but it feels tenuous. Again, faith cries out, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. It's what Moses and Philip wanted to see, the ways of God. We haven't forgotten his word. We know that he strengthens our hearts in times of trouble. He relieves our guilt. So we want him to tell us one more time of his love, to tell us one more time of our forgiveness in Christ, to show me one more time those bloodied hands and open side. Show me one more time the joy of the vocation that you have given to me, where I can thank and praise you. Our eyes are fixated on the one who is suspended, and he says, I am the way. To know Jesus is to know the way of God. To know Jesus is to know the salvation of God, for the name of Jesus in Hebrew is salvation. He is the Jacob's ladder through whom we ascend through faith. So the way of God is a bloodied man hanging in darkness, crying out to his Father for help, as his Father turns his back in silence. He bore our shame on the tree of shame. So because of Jesus, there is no punishment left for us. Because of Jesus, there is no shame left. God has exalted Jesus to the very highest place, the very right hand of God, and has given him the name that is above every other name. For he alone has opened up the way to the Father for us, so that through faith we too may ascend and live with God. So we don't want God to remember us and what we have done. We want God to remember his mercy, his steadfast love. Jesus died and God forgives not because we have said we are sorry, and not because we feel bad for what we have done. Judas felt bad. He was not forgiven. But God forgives because he remembers his mercy and his steadfast love. What moves God to forgive you day after day is his very own heart, a heart that was split open by a spear, blood and water. God has not forgotten his promise of mercy and love. So when we ask God to remember, we are asking him to do something. We are asking him to act right now as our Savior, to be that loving, merciful, gracious, compassionate God that Moses longed to see and that Philip wanted to see, to be that God for us today. Because we feel worthless, embarrassed, and less than. The enemies taunt us day and night by flaunting their immorality. It's too much for us at times, this life. It can be overwhelming. Spare us from such disgrace. We long for eternity. And God remembers Jesus and his steadfast love. The blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. For as often as you eat and drink, you proclaim the Lord's death. The very God that you have asked him to be is the very God he is for you this night. Yet still we are here. Another day is before us. Another week needs navigating. Another month, another doctor needs visiting. Another relationship needs work. And they're hard to work on. Another chore needs to get done, even though we just did it yesterday. And on the list goes. The Lord is good and upright in all that he does, even when he lets us linger here below. We know full well what our vocations require of us, but sometimes we just don't feel like doing it. We want to carry it out joyfully, but we're very sluggish. The word of forgiveness does not end our suffering immediately. The word of forgiveness does not even always calm our hearts immediately. The word of forgiveness does not always move us to wake up with joy and attack the day with vigor and gladness. So we live by faith, not by sight. We live in his forgiveness, which means that we live in his love underneath his love, in accordance with the commandments that he has given. We are free. We are free to carry out our vocations according to that law, free from the punishment that may come when we misstep. We are free from shame, but we're not free from humility. The humble continue to study. The humble continue to learn the commandments and the ways of the Lord, to meditate on them day and night. They are not passive. but they are active. They are not silent, but they are noisy as they cry out to God for help. So what if the world mocks? Christ has overcome the world. So what if our own hearts trouble us? God is greater than our hearts. Yes, I know, easier said than done. And that's the tension. Believing rightly and living according to our faith when we feel and see otherwise. It's a lifestyle, or it's a lifelong exercise in repentance. Because at times it looks as if God has removed his face from us. So many distresses, troubles, and frustrations often pile up. So much immorality, and blatant immorality at that. And then we think of our lazy, unmotivated heart, and our conscience asks us, are you really any different than those out there? The external troubles that we bear are a gentle reminder of the internal guilt that we should bear. And so we blurt out for the 77th time, remember not the sins of my youth or my many transgressions, but according to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. To you, O Lord, we lift up our eyes, for you alone are the way to the Father. Salvation is found in no one else. Do not let us be ashamed, but let us be humble. Do not let us be punished for our transgressions, but lead us to confess those sins. For you are a merciful and forgiving God. Help us get through another day, another week, another year. Help us through the chores and the schedules and the work. Help us to get through Lent and on to Easter. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles, for we trust in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.